Thank you for joining us for our broadcast today. My name is Ben Bailey.
In the book of Revelation, Jesus' initial comments to the church at Ephesus are very complimentary. Jesus says, "I know your works, your labor, your love. Here is a working congregation who loves the Lord and who is laboring in His vineyard." He then says to this congregation that you cannot put up with the evil. They would not allow immorality and sin to be in their midst, and thus they stood firm on their true stance against right and wrong. This congregation was a congregation who tested those who said they were apostles and found them out to be wrong, to be false apostles. This congregation was conservative, it was Bible-based, and they were a working congregation. Yet there was one thing that was wrong with these people. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4, "Yet I have this against you, that you have lost your first love." How sad it is that this faithful congregation, conservative and Bible-minded, had lost their zeal and their passion for God and for holy things. Friends, this same incident can happen to us if we're not careful. If we don't watch out, we can also lose our passion for God and for holy things, and we can lose our zeal and our drive to serve the Lord. If that happens, what do we do to relight our spiritual passion for Jesus? If our flame goes out, and if we no longer have the zeal and the passion that we once did, how do we get back to having a fire for God and a zeal for holy things? Philippians chapter 3. First, we must have a holy dissatisfaction with ourselves. If I'm really going to have a passion once again for God, a zeal and a desire for holy things, I must have a holy dissatisfaction with myself. Notice what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. Paul says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me." Paul says, not that I've already attained. I'm not there yet. I haven't arrived. I'm not everything that I think I need to be as a Christian. How amazing it is that one of the greatest men of God had not arrived in his Christianity. Here's a man who had suffered great things in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 for the cause of Christ. Here's a man who had been caught up to the third heaven and seen unspeakable things, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 following. Here's a man who said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 8, "I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Henceforth or in the future, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day." This is a man of God who had suffered many things, and yet it's amazing that Paul would say, "I haven't attained. I've not achieved everything I need in Christianity." Paul had a holy dissatisfaction with self. For us to relight our spiritual passion, for us to really have a zeal for God and everything that's right, we must learn that the status quo will never work in Christianity. I can never think that I've reached my place as a Christian or that I've arrived as a child of God. I need to always be striving to grow in my Christian walk. Do you remember the words of 2 Peter chapter 3 in verse 18? Peter discussed the Christian growth and he said, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever." Peter said, you've got to grow. The word grow there is in the continual idea. It's continuation. It's something that we must always be doing. I never give up growing. I'm always trying to follow God's will. Peter said in 1 Peter 2, verse 2, "But as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that we may grow thereby." Just like a baby on a bottle who has to take that milk to grow and to thrive. That's the way Christians ought to be. We haven't achieved everything we need. We're not satisfied with the status quo, but we're striving every day to grow in the grace and knowledge of our God. Paul wanted to know the Lord more fully. He said in Philippians 3, verse 10, I want to know Him and the power of His resurrection. We ought to have that same attitude today, that we want to grow in the grace and knowledge of God, and that we want to know Him better each and every day of our life. Having a holy dissatisfaction with ourself, practically speaking, means several things. It means that we would never say that we know the Bible well enough. We never come to the conclusion that I've studied God's Word enough and I know the Bible well enough and I'm just going to quit studying. The Bible teaches us that we never act like that. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, be diligent to present yourselves approved unto God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. As the King James says, study or be diligent. That means to give every legitimate effort to show myself approved unto God. I've got to search the Scriptures and know what God's will is. 1 Peter 3:15 says, be ready always to give an answer for the reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and with fear. Are we ready to give an answer for the hope we have? Are we really prepared in our knowledge of the Bible? Friends, as I study the Bible and as we search the Scriptures, we always learn that there are areas we can improve in. There may be things we don't know as well as we think we do. Proverbs 15:28 says, the heart of the righteous studies how to answer. And so Christians never say, we know the Bible as well as we need to. We never say that we pray enough. Oh, we always ought to be striving to be a more prayerful people. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, that Christians ought to pray without ceasing. There should never be a time in our life when we can't pray, when we can't come to the throne of God and ask for grace and help in time of need, according to Hebrews 4, verse 16. The psalmist said in Psalm 86 and verse 3, I cry unto Thee daily. Oh, how we need to be like the psalmist. A people who never say we pray enough, but are always striving to have a better relationship with God through prayer. I think of the words of Jesus in Luke 18:1. Men ought to pray always and never lose heart. You know, Christians should never be satisfied with their ability to help others. We never need to think to ourselves that we've been as benevolent or as helpful to others as we could be. In fact, we ought to be striving and looking for opportunities to reach out to those who are in need. This is what Christianity is about in its practical nature. James 1:27 says, pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this, to visit the widows and the orphans in their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. That word visit doesn't mean that you go over there and you sit down and you say hi and you have a good conversation. The idea is that we care for, that we take care of, that we provide for the needs of the widows and those who are orphans. Galatians 6 verse 10 sums it up this way. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. We need to take advantage of opportunities to be benevolent, to help others. And we never need to say, oh, I helped so-and-so last week, so I'm not going to look for opportunities to do that this week. We never need to say that we have done enough work in the Lord's kingdom. We don't need to get the retirement mentality. I'm persuaded that some in the church today, maybe who have been there for many years, have gotten that idea. Just like you're at a job and then you retire and you don't have to do anymore. Some have that same mentality when it comes to the church. I've been in the church 50 years and I'm going to let these young whippersnappers do it. No, that's not the way we need to think. We don't need to get the retirement mentality. We need to always be looking for opportunities to work in the kingdom of our God. I'm reminded of the words of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Paul says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. We need to be always abounding. Listen to the language that he uses. We don't sit down and let someone else do it, but we're always abounding in our work for God. Revelation 14, 13 tells us why. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works. Do follow them. What I do for God now and for the church now is going to help me as I live my Christian life, and is going to bless me in eternity. Think of the words of Jesus in John 9, verse 4. Jesus said, I must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day, for night comes when no man works. We never need to say to ourselves as Christians that we've done enough evangelism. I've talked to enough people about the gospel. Sometimes we may even get discouraged and say, you know, I've tried lots and it's just not working, so I'm going to quit talking to people about the Lord. No, we need to have a holy dissatisfaction with self when it comes to evangelism. We need to always be striving for areas of improvement, especially as it relates to talking and friends to friends and neighbors about the gospel. Think about what Jesus said in Mark 16, verse 15. Jesus said, we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. He repeated these sentiments in Matthew 28, verse 18 as well. Paul taught us in the book of 1 Corinthians that we must always strive to look for opportunities to spread the message of Jesus. He said in Colossians 2, verse 8, Him we teach, warning every man, teaching every man, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. We've been called out of this world of darkness and sin to proclaim the praises of Almighty God. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. And so to really relight our spiritual passion for Christ, we must have a holy dissatisfaction with self. Don't ever say to yourself, I'm where I need to be as a Christian. Always be looking for areas of improvement. But maybe you're saying to yourself today that I want to have this passion and I want to really serve God. And maybe you're not a Christian. You can become a Christian today very simply by obeying the gospel. And you can obtain this passion for God knowing that your sins have been forgiven. In Acts chapter 2, the question came as Peter preached the gospel and he came to the climax of his sermon. Men and brothers, they asked, what shall we do? Peter responded by saying, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. They heard the Word. And so today, people must also hear the Word of God. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Once we have heard the Word of God, listened to the message, accepted its truthfulness, we must believe in Jesus as God's Son. In John chapter 8 and verse 24, Jesus told us that if we do not believe that He is the Son of God, we're going to perish in our sins. But it's not just belief that saves. We've got to be willing also to repent of our past sins, to repent of our former life. In Luke chapter 13, verse 3, Jesus said, unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. Peter preached in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19 to repent and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, so that seasons of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. I've got to change my way of thinking, and then also have to change the way I live my life. Then one must be willing to confess Jesus as the Son of God. In Romans chapter 10, verse 10, the Bible says, with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I've got to be willing to orally confess, to say that Jesus is the Son of God. And yes, dear friend, to become a Christian, to have this passion that we've spoken about today, you must be baptized for the remission of your sins. Acts 2:38, Peter said, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Paul was told in Acts 22:16, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the Lord's name. Jesus said it so plainly in Mark 16, verse 16, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. He that does not believe shall be condemned. Are you a Christian? If not, we want to encourage you to obey the gospel. God loves you, and I can guarantee you, you will have a life that truly has passion if you decide to follow Jesus. Our hope and prayer today is that we will all strive to have a greater passion for God and for holy things. May God bless us as we strive to live a life that pleases Him.